for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday afternoon, December the 30th, 2015. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on the power of the new tongue.
Well, we want to get right into the Word of God, the message. And let's pray first. Father, thank you, because we're dealing with eternal things, heavenly things. And Lord, this afternoon, with your help, we're going to deal with the tools that you've given us, the blessings, the mighty power that you've given us that's available to us, Father. We don't want to miss any of what you have for us. So we just ask, Father, that you send the Holy Spirit down from heaven in this room this afternoon and instruct us and talk to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I want to talk to you about the power of a new tongue. The power of a new tongue. Proverbs 18:21. A lot of people mention this about death and life and the power of the tongue. But they usually it's spoken of even in religious circles as we need to watch what we say with our tongue. And we do need to. This simply means that words can bring life. The death and life are in the power of the tongue. Our tongue can bring life. The words that our tongue speaks. And words can bring death, both to the speaker of the words and to the hearer of the words. The words of judges, according to the sentences that they pass, can cause life or death. The words of preachers and teachers, according to the doctrine they preach, can cause life or death. I remember in 2008, both my sons were working in the cabinet shop, worked there for several years, and were very good at building beautiful cabinets. And, of course, the economy crashed and the housing market fell. And they heard some words that turned their lives upside down. You know, you don't have a job anymore. And they were laid off. Think of words. The words of all men who by their good or evil speaking bring either death or life to themselves and to others. Some by their tongue because they use it too freely or too much. They don't guard it, or by the falsehoods they utter, are the cause of death to themselves and to others. You know, you can be blessed and be happy, and you feel like God's really on your side, and this and that, and somebody can say something to you and just destroy your little world, if you let it. Some by their silence or by their wise speech secure or obtain life, or death for themselves and for others. The tongue is the instrument either of a great deal of good or of a great deal of evil. And judgment at the last day will be determined, Jesus said, according to a man's words. Matthew 12:34, O generation of vipers. Can you imagine a pastor stand up saying that to his church? O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Some say, well, I didn't mean to say that, or it just slipped. No, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Put enough pressure on the person, and what's in there is going to come out. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. But I, Jesus, say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of thereof in the day of judgment. Now, have you ever been sitting around even sometimes with church people and just all the idle talk coming out of people's mouths? Just idle talk, silly talk, stupid talk, whatever, you know. And you just want to get up and walk away. Get out of that cloud of idle talk. And I want to say to you this afternoon, God doesn't like idle talk. He doesn't like foolish jesting. But I, and that's not even to mention dirty talk, you know. But I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of there in the day of judgment. What is idle words? It's words that just come out of our head. And instead of coming out from the Holy Spirit, you know, just idle. They have no value to them. They produce nothing good. For by your words you shall... I get a little head here. Have you ever heard people, they just like to hear themselves talk. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. And the reason for that Jesus said that, is because the words, our words, reveal our heart. And you don't have to have an x-ray to look down in the heart and see what's in there. Just listen to the words that people say. Have you ever come across people that claim to be a Christian, and maybe they're even active in the church, maybe have a position of leadership in the church, but yet the name of Jesus never crosses their lips? There's something wrong with that. Something wrong with that. Or if it's gossip coming across their lips, or if it's criticism, gossip coming across their lips. Watch that. Watch when you're around people. If you want to know what they are, listen and see if the name of Jesus ever comes across their lips. Some people it does, but it's in cursing, you know that. But taking his name in vain. So we see the power of the tongue, and even to the day of judgment, we see the power that it has, whereby we live or we will die. That's what Jesus said. Proverbs 18:21, again, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it, or love to talk, shall eat the fruit thereof. If you could stop and think about that, what comes out of your mouth, you're going to eat the fruit of that. It's going to come back. You're going to eat that fruit. Those that love to talk shall eat the fruit thereof. For its fruit, good or evil, will always follow the words spoken. That fruit will follow it. In other words, are you speaking life into people's? Are you speaking death into them? Are you speaking life into your church, your home, your family, your relationships? What are you speaking into it? You know, there's one thing. You can take back a lot of things. You can shoot an arrow and go get it and take it back. But you can shoot those words out and you can't get them back. They won't come back. Get in an argument with your husband or wife and say things you shouldn't have said, and it's always there. I mean, it's there. Some that like to be talkative. They love to use the tongue, whether in a good way or in a bad way, just so they can hear their tongue making noise. All who talk shall be recompensed accordingly. They and others shall enjoy the advantages or disadvantages arising from the use of their tongue. Proverbs 10:19 says, in the multitude of words there is no lack of sin, but he that refrains his lips is wise. We need to remember that, don't we? James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You know, the Quakers would sit around silent, waiting for the Spirit to move on, and then it began to quake. Every use of the... And back there, maybe, you know, that was right. And you ever gone to a service and it gets quiet? I know as a pastor... You're waiting on the Holy Spirit, and it gets quiet, and people get really restless. I mean, we have a generation walking around with earplugs in, you know, and I mean, this noise, and they can't stand it to be quiet. And so sometimes in church, when you're waiting on the Holy Spirit, you know what I'm talking about when I say waiting on the Holy Spirit? Giving Him space, being quiet, seeing if He has something to say to the church or to you as an individual or in your prayer closet. Just being quiet. You don't have to talk all the time in the prayer closet. Sometimes we really need to shut up and hear what He has to say. Be quiet, be still. But as a pastor, when you're waiting on the Holy Spirit, you just feel sometimes such pressure coming from somewhere that you got to say something or do something. You just can't be still and wait on Him. There have been times in the past I was determined I was going to wait on, as a pastor, have the church wait on the Lord. And finally, you just, under pressure, you give up and move on. Oh, well, you know, I guess the Lord doesn't want to talk to us today, but He does want to talk to us if He can find somebody that can hear Him. Now, every use of the tongue has consequences. Do you believe that? Every use of our tongue has consequences. James 3:2, for in many things we offend all. If any man defend not in word, the same is a perfect man or perfect woman, perfect child, and able also to bridle the whole body. Now that's a big statement. Able to bridle the whole body if we can bridle that tongue. We can offend in our dress, our behavior, our facial expressions, you know, rolling the eyes or, you know, we do that. Give people a dirty look, whatever. Praise God. I'm not going to say that. I am going to say it. One time I was looking for a Suburban, an old Chevrolet Suburban, something to drive. I don't remember why, but I'm sure there's a reason. And so I stopped this car lot, and I drove it, and I got back, and he told me what his price, and I was going to, you know, try to negotiate. And that man came unglued on me. He said, why did you drive it if you weren't going to pay the price I said? I mean, he got ugly with me. I don't know what had happened that day, but it was bad. So later on, I was at another car lot, and this was one where it's a wholesaler. And so I went, and there he was waiting. He was, a lot of car dealers would be there waiting for the cars to come in. They'd buy them, you know. And so I was walking, and there he was, and I walked by him, and I gave him a dirty look. I did. And you know, I was walking by him, and I don't remember exactly what he said, but he said, "I'll knock that look off your face." I was wrong, folks. I was wrong. And I'm standing there thinking, what am I going to do? I'm going to turn around and take care of that man. And then I saw my picture on the front page of the newspaper. Pastor loses it. You know, so I thought, no, I'll let that go. So I just went right on by. Praise God for the times I've kept my mouth shut. Praise God, praise God. Wished I'd have done it more, you know. Well, I want to say this. I don't think it's just men that lead us, women too sometimes. The flesh won't just talk dirty. Or won't just say things, you know, talk about subjects we shouldn't be getting into, that we ought to leave alone. Now, we can offend in our facial expressions in so many other ways. But the offense given by words spoken are the most hurtful and dangerous of all offenses. I'm telling you, wars have started over words. Literally, wars between nations. Now, being a perfect man is not that hard. It's not that hard. Just be led by the Holy Spirit in all of your words. It's not that hard. And what is the Holy Spirit to our mouth? He's the watchman that keeps the door of our lips. Psalm 141:3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. So who's the watchman? It's the Holy Spirit. Have you ever heard someone say, I just say whatever comes into my mind? Or I speak my mind? And it's not only a dumb statement, but it's a prideful, hurtful, and even dangerous behavior. I used to have a lady in the church, and she said, I just speak my head, you know. And I thought, yeah, you need to quit speaking your head. But I don't know what gives anyone the right, they think they have the right to do that. The Apostle Paul said, you know, I'll tell you who does. The people who won't read the Word. They don't know what it says. And they're just their own Bible. They write their own doctrine. You know, every toe will set on its own bottom and all that stuff. That's what they do. The Apostle Paul said that he kept his body under. This is, we're going somewhere with this. He kept his body under and brought it into subjection, lest he become a castaway after preaching to others. Now, what did he say? If we're able to bridle the tongue, we can bridle the whole body. If you're going to keep your body under, you've got to keep your tongue under. That's how you do it. If you're having problems with your body, keeping the body under, the eyes, what it looks at, the ears, what it listens to, the mouth, what it says, you know, all that. If you're going to do that, the hands, what they touch. Touch not the unclean thing. Come out from among them, be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. If you're going to be successful in doing that, it has to start with that tongue. That's what he said. Now, come on, folks, that's what he said. If you can bridle the tongue, you can bridle the whole body. Praise God. Keep those feet from going where they shouldn't go. Now, this scripture in James reveals a great secret for bringing our body into subjection. Bridle our tongue, and we'll be able to bridle our whole body. Now, listen to how the Holy Scriptures explain this. Verse 3. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we may turn their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which, though they be so great, are driven by fierce winds, yet they're turned about with a very small rudder wherever the pilot wishes. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about our tongue, that small rudder. Let me tell you, or that bit in the mouth, let me tell you who our bit and our pilot must be. It must be the Holy Spirit. And this is a great indicator of who and what we are, because for as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:14. If our tongue is not led by the Holy Spirit, then we're not His child. That's just the bottom line, folks. If your tongue, and my tongue, is not led by the Holy Spirit, we're not His child. I don't care how many times we join a church, how much we put in an offering, what we think about anything. It doesn't matter whether the situation, whatever the situation is, or how big, you know, the ship's a big thing, or how bad the wind is fierce, the situation is, it can be controlled by a tongue that is led by the Holy Spirit. No matter what we're facing, no matter how big, how bad, the situation can be controlled by our tongue. It will let the Holy Spirit talk through our tongue, our mouth. Didn't Jesus speak to the great storms that were threatening their very lives, and immediately there was a great calm? Did he do that by words, the words that came out of his mouth? What comes out of your mouth when you face these things? Oh my goodness, we're wringing our hands and we're just falling apart, come to pieces, or we're angry, or we're something, you know. Now, the words of the Holy Spirit are, as Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken. That's the words of the Holy Spirit. And Proverbs 15:23 says, a word spoken in due season, or the right season, how good it is. Oh, praise God. And the Lord, this is Isaiah 54, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. I really believe we ought to get up every morning with the intention of God using our tongue to help the weary, to assist them. This afternoon I was texting people in my church, and just as the Holy Spirit led me, and saying what He gave me to say. And two of them right away, texted me back, said, I needed that. I needed that. And I needed it now. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. Are you hearing me? That's what the Lord wants us to do. What does it matter if the football teams are wins or loses? What does it matter about a lot of things? We can spend our time doing better things and use our tongue to do better things. Verse 5, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. There's a young man right now in our facility there, and he's between jail and prison. The judge gave him 6 weeks to clear some things up, and he sent him to us. And this man, I told him the other day, I said, you know what I figured out? You've done everything. You know everything. You've been everywhere. And that's just the ear talk. He boasts great things. I just, no matter what's going on, he knows how to do it. And he's going to tell you how to do it. Or he's been there. He's done that. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Now, what is iniquity? In the scripture, iniquity is lawlessness. Lawlessness, or something out of control. The tongue is a fire, a world of lawlessness, a world out of control. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Whew. Didn't know how close to hell you were, did you? How can something so small cause so much trouble? The tongue itself may be small, and it is. It's one of the strongest muscles in your body, you know that? And one of the most exercised muscles. The tongue itself may be small. You know, you can be laying there, can't move a muscle. If that tongue can work, you can cause a lot of problems. You don't have to lift a gun and shoot anybody. You don't have to take... We go under the bridges, and there was a lady there that as we were leaving one time, and she's in a wheelchair, and she said, I need some diapers. And she pulled out the diaper so we could see that she's telling the truth. So we thought, well, that's a real need. And so we went and we had some. And also there's a man there that, I don't know, he caught my eye. My heart, went out to him. And he's a large man. And so the next time we came back, we brought those diapers. And we couldn't find them. We didn't see her anywhere. And so we got to ask and said, well, the man, the lady in the wheelchair had stabbed the man. And I said, well, you got to get pretty close with somebody in a wheelchair to stab you. But anyway, so she was in jail and he was in the hospital. She still hadn't showed up. Praise God. She may still be there. But what I'm saying is you may not can stab anybody, you may not can shoot anybody or throw a rock at anyone. But you, if that tongue can move, you can cause some problems with that tongue. Lying. Look at lying. What does that do? I mean, lying can cause, if you lie, you can cause a lot of problems. And guess what? He said it's set on fire of hell. And where does the liar go? Hell. I heard that a lot growing up because I was a liar. I lied I was going to say like a dog, but I lied, lied, lied. And God had to help me with that line. Praise God. Now, the tongue itself may be small, but it's not some trivial, insignificant thing. Rather, it's a whirl of lawlessness that defiles one's body. No matter how many showers you take or what you scrub yourself with, that tongue can defile your body. The tongue is a fire that sets everything around it on fire. Every fire has to be ignited, right? And the lawless tongue, we heat the building with firewood where we're at and some electric heaters, but primarily by. Last year we didn't have any propane at all. And so we heat with wood. And some of those guys come in there and they couldn't start a fire if they had to start a fire. I mean, they just can't do it. And I'm not real good. I bought those little fire starter logs. I cheated. But the tongue, though, you have to ignite the thing if you're going to get any heat out of it, any enjoyment or whatever it is. And by the way, a fire kept in its place is a wonderful thing, but if it gets out of its place, it's destructive. Same with water. Every fire has to be ignited. And the lawless tongue is ignited by hell. He said that. It's set on fire of hell. So when your mouth is running, your tongue is running, just saying a bunch of stupid stuff, remember what set it on fire. Well, come on, praise God, amen, glory, hallelujah. Now, our tongue is supposed to be ignited by or set on fire by the Holy Spirit. It's either one or the other. I mean, it's one or the other. There's no gray areas, folks. Either your tongue is set on fire by hell or it's set on fire by the Holy Ghost. Come on now, it's the truth. Acts 2:1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them divided tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we see tongues that are set on fire by the Holy Ghost. What is it? What is your tongue set on fire by? Now, I want to. So we see here other tongues. Now, there are other tongues. Tongues other than our natural tongue. The difference is not so much a difference of the language or a language you have never learned to speak. And there is the difference. And it's a miracle. Every time you speak in tongues, it's a miracle. Do you know that? Every time you speak in tongues, it is a miracle. And you say, oh, I just wish I could see a miracle. Well, every time you speak in tongues, it's a miracle. The difference, though, it's not so much in the language, because it's not so much a difference that instead of speaking in your native tongue, you're speaking in a tongue you never learned or a language you never learned. But the difference, listen to this, the difference is the origin of the words. Where did they come from is the big difference. The source of the utterance that is spoken. Now, Jesus was never the source of the utterance that came out of his mouth. He was never the source. The source of his utterance was the Holy Spirit. He never said a word. He never allowed an utterance to pass his lips unless he first heard the Holy Spirit say it to him. There's a lot of scriptures I can give you for that, especially in John, starting with the 5th chapter and on through there. But in John 14:10, Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself." So we can correctly say, he never said a word. He never allowed an utterance to pass his lips unless he first heard the Holy Spirit say it. He said, he's saying this, he did not speak of his own initiative or out of his own mind, his own opinion, his education, experience, or whatever. And he didn't speak out of his position as a son of God, for he had emptied himself and was found in the likeness of men, Philippians chapter 2. Where did he get these words from? Now, I could have read some other scriptures in Jesus. In one place he said that, "I only say what the Father taught me to say." Well, does that give you a mental picture of him in heaven before he came down here and he's having classes and the Father's telling him what to say and he's memorizing it or writing it down on a piece of paper or something? And is that what he's saying? No. He is saying that what he heard from the Holy Spirit is what he said. What do you say? What do I say? And now John 17:8, "For I have given or spoken to them." This is his high priestly prayer for us, the 17th chapter. In that chapter, he talks about us being one with the Father. But I tell you, we can never be one with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit, unless we're saying the same words they say. Right? "For I have given or spoken to them." That's the disciples that he's praying for. That's for us too. "I have given to them the words which you gave me." You gave me. Who gives you your words that you speak? Jesus had emptied himself, and therefore he must hear what the Spirit had to say, just as we must. You understand, he didn't come here in the position of the Son of God. He did not come that way. He came, he was empty. And he had to operate by the power of the Holy Spirit, just as we have to operate by the power of the Holy Spirit. Some people say, "Well, he was the Son of God. You know, that's why he could do the miracles. That's why he could do this, do that." No, he did everything by the power of the Holy Spirit, just as we do. And in Luke chapter 4, we find this. It said that he was full of the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. He went in the power of the Spirit. And he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. That's the secret to everything he did. And that is the secret for us. In John 14:12, he said that we would do the same works that he did and greater works than these because I go to the Father. What's he going to do when he gets to the Father? He's going to send the Holy Spirit back to us that we can operate just exactly like he operated. You can't get that in Bible school. You can't get that in the correspondence course. You can't get that listening to tapes, CDs, or whatever. I said you can't. Praise God. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be taught. We all need to be taught. That's a good thing if we're taught by the right person, a Holy Ghost person. I don't mean this ugly, but I have no time to listen to or read something written by someone that's not a Holy Ghost person. Do you know what I mean by Holy Ghost person? I don't have time for it. Because number one, most likely it's coming out of their education or their experiences or their opinions. Jesus had emptied himself. Therefore, he must hear what the Spirit had to say, just as we must hear. If he couldn't hear the Spirit speaking to him, then what's he going to do? Either be totally silent or talk out of his own mind. Mark 4:23, and this is Jesus speaking, "If any man has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, Jesus said this to the people. You can read it in the Gospels multiple times. As he was speaking to them, Jesus was talking about those two things on the side of our head by which we hear utterances. If you have ears, two of them, to hear, let him hear what I'm saying. But you get over in Revelation, and when he's talking, the Lord is sending the message to the seven churches, and all seven of them, he says what? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. An ear. Not ears, to these two ears, but this ear. If our lives have to be guided by that. We're in trouble if it's not that way. I mean, if you're just doing your own thing and you're out there operating on what you were taught or what you think or what somebody said, you're going to get in a world of trouble. You might be successful in some things if you get good enough advice, but if you want to be a Holy Ghost person, and I know this is going to be strong, okay? And if it offends you, forgive me. But unless we're a Holy Ghost person, we are of no value to the kingdom of God. We have to be a Holy Ghost person. Now, Jesus is talking about those things inside our head. This shows that not everyone has ears that can hear. Is that right? Not everyone does. Some people are going to sit through the teaching. Some people are going to sleep through it. Some people are going to clip their fingernails. Some people are going to look out the window and say, you don't see any windows around here. Or you're going to look in front of you and say, why in the world are they wearing that? You know, a lot of things like that. We used to have a lady in our church, and while I'm preaching, you know what I'm hearing? Click, click, click. She's back there clicking her fingernails. I mean, what do you call it? Trimming her fingernails. That was the right time for her, you know. Praise God. She ought to have to get down there and pick those pieces of fingernails up, because that's ugly, isn't it? Matthew 13, you know the boy that burned our school down? It was our old church building. He burned it down. He got mad at me and broke in one night and set it on fire and burned it to the ground. And this is Holy Ghost stuff here now, okay? They asked me, the law enforcement and the fire departments asked me, well, how do you think this started? I said, I have no idea. I don't know. And I didn't know the boy was mad at me. And but I told his dad what he's doing. That's why he's mad at me. His dad took his truck away from him, said he's going to do it for a year, and I thought, sir, you're kind of overreacting. But anyway, so he came up there and set on fire, burned it down, and I didn't know. And they said, was somebody mad? Is some, what's going on, you know? And we lost a lot. We lost the building, all the contents, curriculum, computers we were paying for, a lot of things. And so the next morning when the students were getting burned all night, it was quite a show. And we didn't have any insurance. We had insurance, and our insurance company went belly up. And so I was looking around, but some friends of mine that run Holy Highway Girls Home, the Lord spoke to them that if I can give you the buildings, I can keep the buildings. So I said, well, that sounds pretty good. We saved that insurance money. And a month later, he burned it down after, you know, we didn't have any insurance. And I'm going across to the church, and the fire's going and all this, and there's a crowd out there, and some people are hollering and mad and upset. And I said, Lord, I wish we'd had insurance. And you know what he said to me? See, I could hear. You got to have an ear to hear. Yeah. This is what he said to me. He said, I'm greater than insurance.
Amen.
And we rebuilt that building debt-free, totally debt-free, and a lot nicer building, bigger building. And then when I, later on that night or early that morning, we was there all night long. Early that morning, so said, oh, we got to get this in the newspaper. Somebody help us. And the Lord spoke to me again. He said, I'm greater. He said, it doesn't matter. Wait a minute. He said, it doesn't matter what people think, and it doesn't matter about the newspapers. But he basically told me he would take care of it, and he did. There's a man one time. We were trying to build that building. And he came by, and we had to move the school in another building, and so he wanted to talk to me, wanted to see that what we were building. So I took him out there, showed him, and I happened to notice his truck, and oh my goodness, you know, he looked like he hadn't had a bath in a long time. He had this old truck with junk in it, and so I'm showing it to him, and he said, "Well, do you believe the American flag ought to have fringe on it or not?" And I said, "Well, I don't really know, and, you know, I don't know." And then he looked at it and he said, and I still don't know, but anyway, so what's the big deal? And he said, well, if I gave a donation, would you want cash or a check? And I said, well, it doesn't matter. We're going to deposit it. So he goes, and I want him to go away because there's a nice couple in there that I thought would help us.
Oh, my goodness.
I want you to, you know, but I was being nice. He He hands me a check that he wrote in pencil. Now, how many of you know you don't write a check in pencil? And so first thing, I'm very suspicious of this, and it's for $5,000. $5,000. So I called my wife, and I told her, I said, call the bank and ask them, but it's the same bank that we use. And she called back and said, they said it's good. I got up there to the bank, and I put it in the little thing, and I said, see, this check is good. And they said, yeah, it's good. Praise God. But God blessed and he rebuilt the school. And I don't know why I'm telling you that story now. But it's good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Praise God. I tell you, God's done a lot of. We've had 3 fires over the years. And everyone I thought that's the last one. But it wasn't. Some through the water, some through the fire. Praise God. Well, Matthew 13:15. For this people has grown. Heart has grown dull. Their ears are heavy of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn or be converted for me to heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Let me ask you this afternoon, are you blessed?
Yeah.
It's not about financial blessings, folks. The blessing is if you can see and you can hear. That'll take you further than anything. Truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. But some are going to sit out there and daydream, sleep, and clip their fingernails. Jesus was speaking, I don't let people sleep in my church. I don't. I'm warning you. I was in Bible school, and there's about 100-something students in there. And I was working full-time, driving 35 miles one way, working in the church, wore out. And I fell asleep in her, Dr. Williams' biology class. She's 70 years old, and I'm early 20s. I think she's ancient, you know. She's an MD, a medical doctor, retired. Her husband had passed away. He was a doctor or something. And she taught our class. She wore those little granny shoes. Anybody know what I'm talking? Anybody old enough to know what granny shoes look like? Well, they were black and had little heels on them, and they were distinct shoes. And you wouldn't be caught dead in them now. But she wore those, and she'd take us on tours around town, you know, when we're in the botany a part of it, and to show us these plants. And she's always ahead of us. Turn around, come on, children, you know. But I was asleep that morning. And I heard this. Isn't that right, Mr. Pinson? I thought, oh, yes. And she said, don't sleep in my class. I failed that class. I did. Hardest class I ever had in my life. One of the few Fs I ever made. You thought I was smart, didn't you? One of the few Fs I ever made. When she did the test, she'd walk around and find a piece of scrap paper on the floor and write down 5 questions. It's hard. But you know, she's serious. There's a lot of young people that are going to be missionaries and so forth. And she meant business with us. And I thank God for her. I never forgot her name. And Jesus was speaking utterances and doing things that could save them if they could only hear and only see. How important is it that we hear and see? Can everyone hear and see what the Holy Spirit is saying and doing? John 14:16. And I will pray that, this is Jesus speaking, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, now what? Whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. It's a sad thing that you stand before people and teach and preach, and only a percentage of them are even going to understand or hear or see. It's a sad thing. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They're like Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before the swine. They'll trample them underfoot and turn and rend you. And have you learned that there's some people that you just don't waste your breath on?
Yeah.
Now, the scriptures include the doing or acts of Jesus as well as the words that he speaks. John 5:36, but I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, The same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And let me ask you a question. I'm going to read that one again. But I have greater witness than that of John. For, you know, John gave witness to him, this is the Son of God. It's getting a little warm in here, I believe. It is up here anyway. But John said, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. And he said, the Father told me, God told me, that whoever the Spirit descended upon, you know, he's the Messiah, and that's how I know. But Jesus is saying, I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish. What? The works. The same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. So we have two things in play here. We have the words that we speak, and we have the works that we do. And they tell on us. Don't they? They tell on us. The acts of Jesus were continued by those who believed on him. And many are recorded in the scriptures in the book called the Acts of the Apostles. They're continuing. Jesus' acts, the things that he did were witnessed. And in the early disciples, it was a witness, their works, the acts of the apostles. Now, where is our witness? Where's your witness? These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they speak with new tongues. If they drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt them. They shall take up serpents. And then he says, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Where are those witnesses that we're to have? Well, that's what we pay the preacher for. Now, John 14:12. And most churches are going to be out of luck on that one. I don't believe in luck, but you know they're not going. Truly, truly, I say to you, I'm not trying to tell you that I got it. I mean, I wish I had more. I thank God for what he is doing through my life, in my life. But don't we all know there's so much more?
Yeah.
Don't you want to be used to God? You young people in here. There's some fine young people in here. And while you're planning, there's another man that's in the ministry there. We brought him home from under the bridge last time we were there. And he hasn't been there long. He's planning. He's making his plans. He's going to go back to college. He's going to find some housing. And when I get back, I'm going to sit down and talk to him. I'm going to tell him, hey, that hasn't worked for you so far. So why do you think it's going to work? You need to let God have control of your life. You need to start learning the voice of God. You need to do something different from what you've been doing. John 14:12, truly, truly, I say to you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than he shall he do, because I go to my Father. We've given you that a little earlier. Now, everything changed when Jesus returned to the Father in heaven. It changed for us. For it was then that the Holy Spirit was sent down from heaven upon those who believed on Jesus and obeyed him. Everything changed. Just look on the day of Pentecost. 1 hour before the Holy Ghost fell, and 1 hour after, they're totally different people, aren't they? I mean, they're totally changed when the Holy Ghost came upon them and they began to speak with other tongues. It didn't say they passed the test. It didn't say they had an injection. It didn't say anything. It just said one thing, they spoke in other tongues. You know, on the way here, I told you, on the way here, I was praying in tongues. I started out before I even got in the vehicle. And I'm coming here, and for, I'd say 90% of the time coming here, I'm praying in tongues. And that includes when I got out and went to the bathroom. But even then, I'm praying in tongues. Well, somewhere about halfway here, the Holy Ghost came down. And I was driving that car and weeping and crying so hard, and I couldn't hardly see the road. And I was groaning in the Spirit. Some of you don't even know what that is. But it's a higher level of praying. Am I telling you the truth now? Come on, did you read that in your Bible? And I wasn't doing it just coming out that way. But I have been different ever since Monday morning. And I know I have. And it's awesome. All along in our lives, there should be these visitations of the Holy Ghost that makes you different. And so we move along, you know, being changed, you know, from revelation to revelation, glory to glory, 2 Corinthians 3:18. You know, instead of hearing with our two ears, we're to hear with our one inner ear, the ear of the Spirit, the utterances that the Holy Ghost has given to us. Now, new tongues. Revelation 2:7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to churches. And as I said, that's seven times you read that. He said it to every church. If he said it to those seven churches, don't you think he's saying it to us? Don't you think he is? Unless you're a cessationist. Not only are we to hear the utterances spoken by the Holy Spirit, but we're to repeat them. Now, this is important. We are to hear them, and we are to repeat them. Acts 2:3, and there appeared unto them divided tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Let me ask you, has that fire ever sat upon you? Has that fire ever sat upon you? Doesn't matter if you saw it or not. You can sure feel it. And you can feel it in here. Fire shut up in my bones, praise God. And I would say 90% of the church doesn't know what in the world I'm talking about. They've never felt that in here. He reveals his son in us. It must be Christ inwardly, Christ in us. It's not just knowing about him, and that comes first, but it's to know him. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit was not speaking. They were speaking, but the Holy Spirit was giving them the utterance. When it's you and I speaking out of our own mind, our mind gives us the utterance. But when the Holy Spirit's speaking to us, He gives us the utterance. And it's a language we never learned. Okay? I know we can speak in our native language, the Holy Spirit speaking through us. I understand that. It's prophetic speaking. Let me ask you, if you want to go hear a sermon, do you want to hear a prophetic sermon or what somebody learned somewhere? What do you want to hear? The Holy Spirit gave, let's turn that around. When you talk, what do you want to talk? Prophetically or out of your own mind? How awesome that we could begin to speak prophetically, whether in tongues, new tongues, other tongues, or whether in our native tongue. The Holy Spirit gave them the utterance, but they are the ones that repeated it or spoke it out of their mouth. And that really hinders a lot of people because they have this idea the Holy Spirit's supposed to come and take their mouth and move it, you know, their tongue and move it. And he just comes up on, no, you will hear. You will hear the utterances in here, out of your innermost being, not out of your mind. You will hear the utterances and you repeat them. That's called speaking in tongues. Our new language, new tongues are the other tongues. I used to, where I worked in a grocery store, they had a very extravagant, complicated formula for, I was in the dairy department, to figure out how much milk to order. And I don't know where they came up with it, but it worked pretty good. Later on, they wouldn't let us do that, and the computer ordered it and made a big mess. But some of you know what I'm talking about. Computers ordering things. But the figures got so large. But I could do that. I could do that with my mind and the whole time be praying in tongues inside or with my mouth. I could be checking people out in the grocery store and they had no idea I was standing over there speaking in tongues while I'm checking them out. I don't know how you could stand there 8 hours unless you could speak in tongues. You know, get very crazy. I always like to get by myself. When I was working, I don't want to be around a bunch of all that junk they're spewing out of that idle talk out of their mouth. I want to get by myself so I can talk to the Lord in tongues. Oh, hallelujah. When I was young, I had moved down to where my parents had a farm, and that was the Lord. I'll tell you, for one reason, if no other reason. And I was going to a little church there, Assembly of God Church, and because it's a long ways from where Dallas, and I was going there, and this converted Jew came by, and he began to teach us about speaking in tongues, and he said, you ought to be speaking in tongues all the time. Well, that just blew my theology. I didn't know that. I thought you could only speak in tongues when you got zapped, you know. How many of y'all think that? I didn't know you could just do it. Once you have it, once you have the gift, once you've been filled, you can do it. It may be one word. I have a sister pastor at home. He's had a real struggle with speaking in tongues. And he can, but when he gets sapped, he could, you know. And he gets sapped pretty often. But he couldn't do it. You just start out and do it. And I've been trying to work with him. He is telling me on the phone this morning. He said, oh, God's just adding more and more words or utterances to the language. And we were at the hospital in Dallas at Parkland, prayed for this young lady that's in our church. That she's been in the hospital about a month now. She almost died if she fell asleep going home. But the Holy Ghost, the angels, whoever, turned that car around backwards, and it went backwards and hit a tree. And that tree came up right behind her on the seat. And she's in pretty bad shape. And we went over there to pray for her. And we're praying, and the brother is praying. The brother is praying, and he starts praying. I mean, he's praying in tongues. I mean, he is praying in tongues. And the nurses and all came there to do something. They threw her right back out. But, you know, God came down in there, and God touched her. And they were going to do major surgery on her. Her lungs had collapsed in the wreck, and 12, 13 broken ribs and other broken bones, and it's really bad, and took out her spleen. But they decided she doesn't need surgery, praise God. They were going to cut off part of her lung. But see, when you pray in tongues, you pray right. I would not be standing here, I can honestly say this, if it were not being able to speak in tongues. I would not be standing here today. And I don't know how some people sitting in church, from church pews, I don't know how they make it. They can't speak in tongues. I just don't know how they do. And I'm going to say something really bold here, but I think part of it's because the devil never messes with them. They just la, la, la through life, you know. They got their insurance card, and they got their money in the bank, and they got a good job, and this la, la, la. But you may not want to now, but I believe you will. You start speaking in, I mean, really, praying in tongues. The Holy Ghost praying through you, and you got a bullseye on your forehead. It makes a difference. And I'll tell you something else. There's no more sweeter fellowship than fellowship with tongue-talking people. There is no sweeter fellowship than to be around people that speak in tongues. And they don't have to be speaking in tongues right then. But there's a difference. There's a great difference. There's no foolish talk. There's no junk. There's no none of that, praise God. They're a different breed, a different people. Hallelujah. And that's the way the Lord intended it. He did not intend what we're seeing now. And when the apostles died, everything ceased, you know, and all that stuff they want to say. All that is they're trying to make an excuse for why they don't. And you got to come up with an excuse, you know. It's like your neighbor got a new car. Well, I wouldn't have one of them cars if they gave it to me. Oh, yes, you would. You know, but you got to explain something, say something. He told us we are speaking tongues all the time. And, you know, I thank God for that. And so I would forget. And I worked in a little Piggly Wiggly food store. I was only there a few months, and it's the most boring place I've ever been in my life. And I wore the clock out looking at it. And on Thursday afternoon, some of you heard me tell this, but on Thursday afternoon, I was the only one awake in there. Literally the only one awake. That's how bad it was. But he said that, and I tied a string around my finger. I mean, it worked. And every time I see that string, I start speaking in tongues. And so it caught on, see? It caught on. And I'll tell you what, instead of going there and hating it and wanting out of there and looking at the clock, I had church. I had, just like I had coming in the car up here, I had church. And folks, before I knew it, it's time to get off, and I was in better shape than when I got there. This thing works.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.